Thank you and good afternoon. One more talk on flu and one more on LA County. So Dr. Bancroft talked about putting people in the graves, and I'm going to talk about hopefully keeping people out of those graves. I think I can just click through here. I have no relationships to disclose. Just a real quick, here's our outline for the next couple minutes. Just a brief kind of overview of modeling in LA, kind of who we are and why we took this approach. And then this is one of two models that we actually utilized in preparation for a pandemic. And we call this one the community mitigation model, and we'll talk a little bit about that. So without further ado, Los Angeles is a really, really big place. In case you haven't been there in a while, it just keeps getting bigger. We're up to 11 million people. We have 88 cities, 4,000 square miles. We have about 104 hospitals, 73 of which are 911 receiving. We have three health departments, and a place that big comes with a lot of distinct and unique challenges. We're very rural in some parts. We're very urban dense in other parts. 27% of our county is uninsured. We have about 60,000 homeless, and that's about three Staples centers. That's where the Lakers play. And about 36% of our county were born in another country, which provides a unique opportunity to reach those individuals through a variety of languages. So we have a lot of questions, especially if we were to rewind the clock. As we were looking to prepare for a pandemic, how would you go about doing it for a place as large and as complex as Los Angeles? So we start off with some questions. How will it affect LA County? How will it spread? Can we slow it down? And what about the efficacy of the different tools in our toolbox, as it were? Vaccines, antivirals, what about school closures? And what about the NPI, the non-pharmaceutical interventions, the social distancing measures? How many people will get sick? How many hospitals will be affected? Which hospitals will they go to? When will they go to those hospitals, et cetera, et cetera? So we don't have answers to those questions. So we turned to a resource that we thought could help us out. My supervisor, Dee Bagwell, she read a paper, and then she attended a conference with one of the leading modelers from Midas. His name is Dr. Ira Longini, and she approached him and said, you know, Dr. Longini, you've done this for other countries, specifically Thailand, Vietnam, et cetera. Have you ever thought about looking and working here at a local level in the United States? And he kind of stopped and he thought about it and said, I'm interested, let's see where we can go with this. And here we are, that was in 2005, 2006-ish time frame, so here we are about 5 or 6 years later. These models, from what we know, very few local counties take this approach. We understand, we've learned a lot, we understand that fundamentally all models are wrong. By nature, we're not trying to throw a dart and get 100% accuracy. What we're looking to do is put us in a ballpark. From a planning perspective, it can be very intimidating when you walk in and you see all those questions and you realize that you're not antiquated, but your limited toolbox. How do you use those resources to slow it down and to prevent illness and to save people's lives? So we got together with the Longini Modeling Group. One of their members is actually here. John Tsujimoto is present and accounted for today. And Dr. Longini's group, they work with the Midas Research Group, which is NIH-sponsored. And we started from an H5N1 perspective. So again, put your 2007 hat on and think what we knew or what we thought we knew about pandemic influenza, and that's where we started from. An East Asian originating strain coming probably either through San Francisco or LAX or some West Coast airport and then landing and then kind of spreading out through the population. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. As we all know, they popped up in Imperial and San Diego counties, literally just right down the 5 freeway from us. And we stood up our Department Operations Center, I believe it was April 26th. Of 2009, and on April 27th, which I believe was a Monday, we were on the phone with Ira to see if we could use this model that we had created for an H5N1 scenario. Could we adjust it and tweak it on the fly to help guide and kind of channel our interventions as going forward, and with the express intent of influencing the decision makers. and our health officer is in a position to make a lot of decisions quickly. And we see this as just one more layer of information to make a best case or a best judgment for those decisions. This slide over the years has become one of my favorites because it quickly and I think effectively captures what our job or what we're trying to do in an outbreak, especially something like a pandemic. You can see two epicurves there. On the x-axis is kind of the temporal timeline. The y-axis you have some kind of incidence, as it were, daily cases. What our job, what our objective is to do two things. We're trying to dampen the curve, which is to smoosh it down, and then to delay the peak. So if you can remember back to your calculus classes in high school or college, you can calculate the volume of those two curves. And we know that one volume is greatly bigger, as it were, than the other one. And those represent cases or deaths in this case, whatever it could be. But we were talking about cases. And we were really trying to just buy us more time with the hopes that a vaccine would be developed. And the credit to that is from the CDC. That's where we pulled that slide from. So this is kind of, I mentioned two models. We started off with two questions. How will a pandemic affect LA County? And we created a model for that. The output of that model is the impact, community attack rate, one of the outputs of it. And then that helped us understand or answer, or at least try to answer, the second question. How will a pandemic affect the 100 hospitals in LA County? And that also produced results. Together, those two models working in tandem provided a backdrop or foundation from which we could take and craft our plans and our policies going forward. So that's kind of the macro level approach of where we're coming from. So specifically to that community mitigation model, the next set of slides are kind of an oversimplification. I will not get into the mathematics. If you have questions, I will pass you along to John and he can handle those for you. What I'm trying to paint here is how we went about doing this. What were the key components and why did we choose to include them? So this model is a composite of computer coding, statistical probabilities, disease transmission parameters, and mathematical equations. Okay, it's what's called a parallelized stochastic model, and that's fancy talk for basically that parallelized meaning that you could include several different variables or factors together ongoing. It's not a discrete model. We're not dropping in, evaluating one thing, and then dropping out and moving on. We're looking at a lot of several things concurrently, and a stochastic is just a fancy term for elements of randomness is included. The model is 180 days long, that's 6 months, and there are three general components here. There's a community piece, there's an epidemiological piece, and an intervention piece. Okay, and we'll go through that. You put them all in a blender, and out come the impact on the community. So that first piece is the community. You have to build some kind of synthetic population. We did our very best to mimic or reflect the complexities and the nuances involved with a county as large as Los Angeles. We got 2007 estimates from gender, age, and geography. We got commuter and transportation patterns. And the model works in 12-hour workday cycles, meaning that people will go home for 12 hours, and then they'll either go to school or they'll go to work for 12 hours, and then those flip. We also included the undocumented workers, not so much for any other reason outside of just the sheer number of them in LA County. We needed to know how many of them are there. They don't show up in the census. And then the most important thing is that the mixing groups, they drive the population interaction. And this slide obviously is from our researcher group. It's called the Halloran-Longini Community Mixing Model. If you're bored this evening, just go back and type that into Google, and you'll get a whole slew of articles that come up that explain it. But what I want to highlight is just two things. You see several boxes there. And what it is trying to do pictorially is to demonstrate that different groups mix differently as you go through a community. Households, play groups, different types of schools, whether it be elementary versus high school, neighborhoods, and then communities. And then you see this large arrow here on this y-axis. That is indicating that as you move up this ladder, the probability of transmission within those groups increases, which makes sense. Knowing that within our homes, the people that we live with, we have much closer relationships, we're around them a much longer period of time, therefore the probability of transmission would increase. Okay, so then that's the first kind of chunk or section of the model. The second is what we call the epidemiology of it. And this is really the epidemiology of the disease. While we're speaking about flu here, you can swap out different diseases. They'll have different characteristics, but you can include those in the model. So this was specific to flu. And there's a concept out there that's known as the R-naught, or the reproduction number. And basically what it says is for every one ill individual, how many more ill individuals will occur as a result of that. If you saw the movie Contagion, there was a great scene when Kate Winslet was up there educating those people from Minnesota who apparently didn't understand this concept. For this model, we included a range of options. And we need to understand, and it needs to be pointed out, that infectivity is not the same as severity. So while one flu may be very highly infectious, does not necessarily make it a very severe flu. So we looked at these numbers here. As you see, these are related to infectivity, not to severity. There's a time varying for the infectiousness, meaning that there's different viral loads that are included. We've touched upon the stochasticity and the behavior modification of symptomatic individuals. We'll get into that in just a minute. And then finally, our third piece, or third leg of the stool, as it were, is our interventions. This is our toolbox, and we need to know how effective are these tools, or the potential tools that we have. So we worked with the Longini group, and we came up with a menu of options. And then we went through and we categorized all of them, as it were. And the output is broken into two types of interventions, pharmaceutical and non-pharmaceutical. And we will briefly touch upon, here's some of the design components we use for the vaccine, well versus poor match vaccine, different types of coverage levels, as well as the time delay. For every delay in getting the vaccines out to the population, what did that cost us in terms of cases? We also included a piece on the antiviral, MCM, as it were, the medical countermeasures. Do we look at treatment only? Do we look at prophylactic versions of that, what we call household-targeted antiviral prophylactic? With our grant funding, LA County, before H1N1 started, we purchased 2.5 million courses of Tamiflu. What do we do with all of that? How do we unroll of it? And then the school dismissal piece, again, we looked at turning off the entire school systems. Just FYI, there are 67 school districts in LA County. Okay, so that's 67 different phone calls that we would have to make if we did that. What about geography? Do we turn it off track by track? Do we turn off just grades? And then how long do we keep the schools, quote-unquote, turned off? And then what's this component of social distancing? What's the value of it? I don't know if this is going to work. This is a movie, basically. It will display how it's spreading throughout L.A. County there, and it also provides a nice epi-curve. And I don't think that's going to work, so we'll move on. There we go. So here's real briefly, here's some of the results. Let me just highlight a couple quick things. This is spring 09. Okay, so we did this literally in April and May of 2009. We're looking at an R-naught of 1.6. Here's what happens if we do nothing, or at least this is based on what we knew from the data from Mexico City and New York City. Here's your average attack rate, 36%. You can see it broken down by the various age groups. Cases, you have to multiply that by 10,000, or it's really easy in LA County, just move the decimal to there. That's 3.9 million cases in LA County. That's if we did nothing with what we knew in spring of 09. Obviously, it didn't turn out to be this transmissible nor this severe. Here's what would happen if we did the HTAP program. Early, aggressive, and targeted prophylactic use of antivirals, if feasible, can reduce overall spread, particularly in the younger age groups. Okay, here's the school closures. We were one of the first counties to stand up and say, no, we are not closing down schools. It just does not make any sense from a political perspective. And as one of our leaders is wont to say, the juice is not worth the squeeze on this. And you can see, if you shut down every single school and kept them shut down in LA County, what it would do to your attack rates. If you see that second row, the average attack rate goes from 36% down to 2.1%. Again, how feasible is that? Every single school for 180 days. If you were to kind of turn them on by piecemeal, you can see it goes from 36.0 to 35.9. Not very effective. So we stood up and said, that's not what we're going to do. And the model helped kind of orient that decision. And then finally, Now, if I can point this out, now we're into the fall. This is several iterations of the model later. You can see we've dropped our R-naught down to 1.4. And we utilize this to focus we did 109 pods in LA County, mass vaccination clinics in LA County. This data helped to focus what our goals and objectives of that mass vaccination campaign were. We were trying to get 30 to 50% of the population, and I can show it better in a picture. On the bottom of this x-axis here, you can see the different R-naughts. On the y-axis is the overall illness attack rate. You can see if we do nothing is kind of that larger dashed arc. And then the different colors, the red, the green, and the blue, that tells you what would happen to the attack rate if you hit certain vaccine coverage levels in your community. 50% of LA County, that's 5.5 million people. We knew that was not really feasible, but could we get closer to 30? What would happen to the attack rate? So that's what we aimed at, and you can see the effects of that. And I believe my next, let me skip through this real quick. So again, modeling Los Angeles, it's not a panacea. We know that. It's a forecast, and it's designed to put us in the ballpark. It provides understanding of spread and impact, both to the community as well as to the hospitals. And we really are interested in the temporal aspect of the decision-making. If we delay, what does that cost us in terms of cases? We talked about the role of transmission versus severity. And what we're really hoping to do is we go around and take this presentation out on the road, as we call it, is to help other jurisdictions think like this so that we can all work together and come up with a better understanding of our tools that we have for the next big event that we're planning for. Maricopa County is currently developing a model similar to this, and within LA, we're also looking at utilizing this approach for other agents, be it anthrax, a SARS-like event, pneumonic plague, etc. That's it. And I just want to give special thanks to obviously the Longini team, and we look forward to working with them as we go forward. Thanks. I guess we have time for one or two questions. One question. Okay. Oh, over there.
Right.
It's from a community perspective. In this case, the entire county. So widespread, yes.
Thank you.